When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia in the number! There's the reply! Barry and Fahaz! History made!
It's James Beattie!
Pass it, and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Middleton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number. Proud to be part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 173, a new era at Southampton. And today we have a special show for you. Joining us, we have local legend, stand-up comedian, radio DJ, TV presenter, former Saints matchday host, and super fan Tom Deacon. We also have the Moscow Mush Kevin Milverton, who's just Kevin. Sorry, mate. We'll be going through all the thoughts of Ralph sacking, the Nathan Jones appointment, match reaction to both Sheffield Wednesday and Liverpool, and of course the World Cup. But before we bring in Tom, let's get just Kevin in, shall we? Kevin, how are you? How's the mood?
All right, yeah. I've been a bit distracted from the football this week. I've been busy working on a new project.
New project? What, you put your CV into the football club, did you?
No. I'm building a website where vegetarians can upload videos of their favourite homemade recipes.
Oh, yeah?
I call it Corn Hub.
Why did I walk into that one? Anyway, how are you in general about Nathan Jones, Kevin? Underwhelmed? Delighted?
I don't know. I wasn't really fully Ralph out, you know, when this all happened. So I think I'm more of a cynic, I suppose, when it comes to Nathan Jones. I think it's not the most glamorous choice, is it? After we've had Ralph and other big names who have had European experience going to a manager who's been successful in the Championship. That's a bit risky. If you're really cynical, you'd say that it doesn't show ambition, but I don't know. I'm going to reserve judgment and
good.
See where it leads us.
That's good. And now, the star of the show, Tom Deacon. Tom, welcome to In That Number, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. I feel pressure now. what a CV. I'd almost let out a little tear, as you said, used to be match day host of Southampton. I blimmin' miss that. But it's great to be on the show, and I sort of listening to Kev there taking on his sentiments about Ralph and what Nathan Jones will do. And but great to be in this number for once.
Hey, I like it. But yeah, before we get into all that Saints chat, I guess that's what we're here for. But firstly, how are you doing? And I know you're clearly a busy man. You said that you were in Bristol last night. I don't know if you're still there.
No, I've got out of Bristol safely. but yes, no, just gigging. And when I'm not, something you didn't put in the CV, which I don't even know why I'm bringing up, is that I host the F1 eSports. So
yes, I did know that. Yeah, I said TV host. I mean.
Oh, to be fair, you did actually. I apologise very early on in a show when you're apologising to one another very quickly. So I host that. So that's coming up. That's taking up my time at the moment, and in a good way. And in gigging wherever I decide I would like to drive to, because that's the thing with comedy. How far am I willing to drive to go and perform for 20, 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, and then drive home again? And some places are just too far, guys. You know what I mean? Like 2 hours,
well,
I'm happy with that.
How far is too far? I mean, where do you draw the line at north and south? I mean, some people say that if you go above Oxford, that's it, you're in the north.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not even the north. Watford Junction, pretty much, isn't it? I said to a group of Geordie lads at my gig last week, I said, oh, I was up north the other day. I was in Birmingham, and their reaction... they just got so angry about that, and I was like, I am joking, lads, calm down. Birmingham, probably draw the line at Birmingham. I mean, what about the Premier League fixture that we have, driving up to Newcastle from Southampton? That's still the furthest journey you can do, so that would be an obscene journey. I'd probably take the train for that one.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't even bother doing it, to be honest, because St. James Park isn't exactly a happy hunting ground for us Saints fans, is it? So.
No, but you know what I do like about St. James is the fact it's right in the city centre, and you can have a few drinks if you're up. You're that way inclined, and then get the train back. I did it with my mate a couple of years ago when Danny Ings scored. We lost 2-1, so yes, and it's a nosebleed seat right up there in the gods.
They like to keep the fans away, don't they?
Not a fan of that. But the stadium's great, and Newcastle are doing well. And wouldn't we all like to be a Newcastle fan right now?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, certainly in their position. Yeah, although they are going to be very soon the most hated team in the land. I sense.
Yeah,
they are. Really, really excited to be having this chat with you. And it couldn't have come at a better time, really, because, you know, active week for the club. We had two games and, you know, the manager, everything that's going on with the manager sacking and the manager coming in. And so a good place to start would be would be Ralph. And how did you feel about the whole situation? And was it the right time to let him go?
I think as Kev said, only time will tell on that. But yeah, this for me personally, I liked Ralph. I'd interviewed Ralph a couple of times. He's got that aura about him. You feel comfortable in his presence. You feel like whatever he says, you go, oh, well, if Ralph says that, we'll go with that. However, the results weren't translating on the pitch. And I'm a very positive person. I was even beginning to build to that. Come on, we've got to do something. I mean, all the backroom staff have changed, all the coaches. We don't have a striker. That's the last thing as Ralph leaves. You're like, well, we didn't get the striker we wanted. But, you know, the owners spent more than they've ever done in the last couple of years since, I think, the Mark Hughes era, which I mm-hmm. don't really like to talk about other than the Swansea result. I feel for Ralph, but at the same time, I like what Nathan Jones has brought already, a bit of positivity. And I think this is the best time because now he gets a pre-season almost with the players while the World Cup's going on, and he can really start to embed that positive attitude he wants on the pitch. And yeah, I was really interested to see how the players responded against Sheffield Wednesday, and I went to that match and I went, oh no, nothing's really changed. In the first half, and as soon as they took Salisu off, and it's not Salisu that's the issue, but you're like, Pero is just fantastic. Like, I think he's been brilliant this year.
Yep.
As a left back, he's not only scoring more than Adam Armstrong. He just had that attacking flair as a left back. I wasn't sure about the Gineppo right back situation. But in the second half, we just looked far more dominant and came down to the fact that we really struggle in front of goal, unless it's a penalty. So I was a bit like, oh, well, it isn't Ralph necessarily. It's just the players are lacking a bit of confidence and a bit of attacking flair. So I liked Ralph. I agree. It's probably a time for a change. And I'm hoping, you know, as all Saints fans are, that this is the right move at the right time. And obviously making sure we got that Premier League survival.
Absolutely.
Do you think he's the right appointment? If you were choosing a manager, would you have gone with someone like Nathan Jones?
I think, Kev, this is about what the club and, you know, sports, the owners are going for, in as much as I don't think, say, Thomas Tuchel was thrown about. I don't think he would have fit into, well, he was like, well, he hasn't got a job.
He's still he likes got a stake in pressing.
Yeah, like, he's not got a great record at St. Mary's. He'll be perfect. But like, really realistically, is he someone who's going to change the fortunes of the club without having to spend more? And then you've got our owners wanting to put £80 million debt in the club so that they can spend more money, and like most clubs do these days. So I don't think he would have been the right manager to come in, nor is Sean Dyche coming in. I don't think he's the right guy. So I think actually Nathan, it realistically, is that guy who I feel is a motivator. And after the Liverpool game, things weren't working in that first half. He changed it for the second half. And that's one of the criticisms that Ralph came under, was not changing up things when he needed to. So I think Nathan is not an exciting appointment, but he actually could be the right guy in terms of galvanizing the team and making them play with a bit more confidence, but doesn't have any Premier League experience. Neither did Ralph when we signed him. So, I can make arguments for and against Nathan Jones, but what I've seen of him so far, you're like, well, good luck. And I hope it works out.
Yeah.
I think it's a big risk.
No, I don't think it is a big risk. I believe in the bigger model of Southampton at the moment, which is we've got these young players and that we've signed at the start of the year, who are essentially, if they do well, are going to be sold on. That's the bottom line. I don't necessarily like that, but that's the model that we have as a club. And we need someone who's going to get the best out of them. And if he is a really, really good coach, I've heard many reports of Ralph being quite, is the arrogant the right word to use? Well, I've said it now on a podcast. So there you go. Did he inspire those players enough at times? And maybe Nathan will do a better job. It's really hard to say, isn't it? Because I wanted someone who you just go, oh, well, he's going to keep us in the Premier League.
And that's it, yeah.
But he would be a Mark Hughes. I don't think Mark Hughes for the job, but he's got a survival. I love the bravery of the decision, but as the person who supports and loves this club, I do not want to see us get relegated. But then I liked Nathan's response when a press reporter asked him, are you thinking about the Championship, about bounce back? And he went, let's not talk about the Championship. That's not where we are. We're in the Premier League, and that first and foremost is to get survival. So, yeah, I'm conflicted, but I think, hey, he hopefully is going to be the right guy for the club.
I think the problem with most fans is that we're not showing enough ambition. I mean, you got Villa have just got Emery, Wolves have got Lopetegui, and we've gone for Nathan Jones, someone that could be good in the long term, but not in the short term. And I think a lot of Saints fans are harking on about. You can look back at the transfer window as well and see some of the players that we brought. Yes, they're going to be fine down the road, but are they going to be enough to keep us up this season? And we put a question out on Twitter, actually, whether it's a good time to replace Ralph. Was it too late? 72% said no. So that's promising. I suppose, you know, it's the right time to do that. And like you said, he's got it's almost like a pre-season that he's got there now. He can use this break. And let's face it, not a lot of our players are going to the World Cup. So, you know, he can stay in constant contact with them if he needs to.
I imagine that there's going to be a lot of clubs in a similar situation. So probably have some behind closed doors friendlies to test the squad out.
Yeah.
And there was talk about them going to Miami as well for some pre-season. There we go.
Jolly.
Yeah, for some training.
But this World Cup could be Southampton's saviour, that we all, as football fans, are like, wow, putting it at the wrong time of the year, this is ridiculous, they shouldn't have the World Cup, etc, etc. That's a typical Southampton fan, as we know. We love to moan about stuff. But actually, it could work out for us because Nathan gets to come in, implement his ideas on how we can improve scoring in front of goal, which is a massive issue. Then he's got that time to build that trust with the players and not being smashed by Liverpool, is his first game in charge. But, you know, us Southampton fans, we love to moan. We get that bounce back with Ralph against Bournemouth, get the win, get the draw here. And you're like, OK, as soon as that loss came against Crystal Palace, 1-0, everyone was like, that's it, Ralph out. No, I've had enough. And you're like, we're never happy with such fickle fans.
No, I agree with you in that sense, because I mean, even when Nathan Jones come in, it was they weren't focusing on the fact that he'd done so well with Luton, and you know, he was overachieving.
He was shit at Stoke.
But yeah, that is it. All they go back to is that brief spell at Stoke, and they will not, you know, that's what they're judging him on. That's it.
Yeah.
The Stoke performance.
And at the end of the day, like any manager, you want a manager coming to your club not to come and make mistakes, obviously. Yeah. But he made mistakes at Stoke, said I've made mistakes and I've learned from it. Like, you know, at times we said about Ralph, he's not learning from his mistakes and doing the same thing, hoping a different outcome will eventually appear. You know, it didn't go well at Stoke, but we're already hating on the guy that hasn't even taken charge of the club. and this is of all fans. Like, when Ralph was in charge, what do you really want from us as a football club? I know we're not getting the results, but what do you really want? It's all well and good saying he's rubbish, he needs to leave. But actually, what do you want from this team? We didn't get that striker. Adam Armstrong isn't going to score a lot. Neither's Shea Adams. So what is it that you want? And when we're always conflicted. And that's the thing I find most frustrating, because I just sit back and go, can we not just get behind? No, I know. And that's the thing. So people listening to this now will be like, no, I really like Nathan. And other people are like, no, he's awful. Then come St. Mary's on the match day. It's just, I want it to be that fortress. I want it to be an atmosphere that we just believe in the manager. And we've had that with Ralph sometimes. And I want that back, and I want that for Nathan, because I want to go to St. Mary's and watch the match and not be on tenterhooks about who's going to be around me going, oh, I knew this would happen. I mean, Diallo's awful. I mean, look, yeah, he gave the ball away a lot at Sheffield Wednesday, but what do you want? Lavia's not fit yet. You know, what do you want?
We have Twitter to blame, don't we? It can be a minefield out there. I don't quite know what Elon Musk has got his hands on, but yeah, it's Saints Twitter. It can be quite damning at times, and also funny.
Oh, hilarious. absolutely hilarious. But look, I don't know much about Nathan Jones. I've never been in a dressing room with Nathan Jones. I haven't interviewed him. I just want him to get those results, and I'll give him that opportunity to do so. And hopefully, I mean, you never know, maybe in January, the club might actually get that striker that is glaringly obvious that we need, because Shea Adams runs about and we love his work ethic. Adam Arms he just doesn't have that confidence in front of goal or kicking the ball anywhere near there, but yet he runs around and does another job. He's kind of like the replacement of Shane Long at times. But I believe in this team, and I don't think we're relegation fodder. We're playing like it, but I think there is potential to turn this around.
Okay, well, that leads me on to my next question. And what I was going to ask was, we do have to be patient with him. And he's under pressure, like, right from the off because of the position that we're in. You know, 19th now, I believe, because Nottingham Forest won, didn't they? Has he got the right amount of time to be able to turn this around?
Because, yes, he does.
That's good.
Yeah, of course he does. This break is going to be our saviour, as I said before. And I think he has got that time to really give those players who need a boost, like taking Diallo under his wing and going, listen, I believe in you. I believe in you. And you're going to go back on the bench now, but you're going to come in. Xavier might get injured again. Everyone's praying he doesn't, because he is just fantastic this year. And everyone's game will be raised. Even Adam Armstrong, I think he'll get something out of him, because he's got to, is my first thought. But also, I think he can. And no one's happy. Every 11 that get put out, every fan can't put the hand on the heart and say, we love every player that's in that starting lineup. So there'll be one player that just gets under your skin that you think, oh, I don't think they're putting in the performance or they're good enough. But I think from looking at his record at Luton, he will galvanise the team and make them play at their top level. And like you say, is there time? I think there definitely is. And as a team and supporters, we do have to get behind him, because he is the manager now. So let's get behind him.
Absolutely. And also, on the plus side, it's so tight down there. You know, one win could take you up three or four places. So, you know, one slip up from Everton, from Forest, and, you know, we've got Brighton coming up as well. You know, a win there, the results go your way, you're right in it again, and there's no panic.
Yeah, no panic. I think it's fascinating to look at Brighton. They lose Graham Potter and yet still winning. And you're like,
And Chelsea aren't.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, well, is it the players? Is it the management? Is it this? I think with Southampton, I look around, and at the start of the year I said Nottingham Forest will be going down. Wolves haven't looked that great. Leicester didn't start well, but now have found a bit of form. I'm just waiting for that purple patch again for us. And I honestly believe with the squad that we are good enough to stay up. I don't think we're in any way arrogant to say, oh, we should definitely be staying up with that squad. But if they start playing, you know, we beat Chelsea earlier in the season, and everyone went, well, this is it. This is what we expected. So I think we're the team that can get some surprise results. And the game against Crystal Palace, I'm annoyed about that, because in the second half, we had chances to win that game. I still hope and know that Southampton as a team need to have that full 90 minute performance. We've had second half good performances. If Nathan can just get us to play for a full 90, I think we'll be all right.
I mean, speaking of that January window, are we finally going to get the striker we need?
And where from, and who's going to let a striker go who's scoring goals? We might have to pay top dollar for a striker.
Are they going to give him the money to spend? I don't know.
Yes, we should have really done it in August, you know, when we had the chance.
They got Mara, Kev.
Oh, yeah, he's been fantastic.
Yeah, Sekou Mara, manhandled by Sheffield Wednesday, very physical. They came along to ruffle some feathers, definitely, in that cup game. I look at it and I think if Nathan doesn't get a striker, someone who's going to provide all those goals, because you've essentially got Mara, who hasn't scored, he scored four goals for the B team, the reserves, fine.
Yeah,
exactly. And that miss against, well, anyway, against Wednesday, let's not hark on about it. I don't feel very confident if he wasn't able to get a striker that we're going to be able to score enough goals, because we relied on James Ward-Prowse last year and he hasn't been at that same level this year. So I would worry if we can't find someone who's going to get those goals. And because of that, every team that we approach, kind of like, hello, have you got a striker that we could have? they're going to be like, yes, we do, but that will be 40 million. And we'll be like, OK, that's fine. We have to put our money into the cause. Otherwise, there is a relegation strong possibility because we're just not scoring enough goals. So, yeah, maybe we'd have to look in the Championship and then everyone will be doubting. It'll be another Adam Armstrong.
Adam Armstrong, yeah. Yeah.
So how do you buy a Premier League proven goal scorer? I don't know. And that's that. And I'm lucky in some respect that it's not my job to sort that out.
Danny Ings on loan.
Oh, would you take him? Would you take him back?
No. No, I wouldn't.
I think
he's not exactly he's not exactly doing it at Villa, is he?
That's probably another reason that he might be likely to leave. Why not?
No, I don't. I think we need to move on from Danny Ings.
Fair enough.
I'll do it.
Yeah, go on.
Right, ITN News.
The England squad was announced the other day and Ward-Prowse didn't get in. Was that a shock? Do you think it's the right decision?
It's not a shock. As much as I'd love to see Prowse get that deserved call up, because he's missed out on the Euros and what have you just before selection, and I just don't think the form is there and he's deserving of a place. As much as I love him, I feel like if it was last year he'd have been a dead cert with his ability with set pieces. I just feel like he played so many games last year and put so much effort in. I think he just looks a bit burnt out at times this year, so no, I'm not surprised. Even though when Maddison went down clutching his knee, I thought, hello, here's a chance, JWP, he's going. So no, not surprised. I mean, what about you guys?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm with you. His form really doesn't deserve it, so I know I wasn't shocked. But then, you know, I look at the players that he has taken. You see Calvin Phillips, who's been dogged with injuries all season. And then you see Conor Gallagher. Has he really been doing that much for Chelsea? I don't think he has. And then, like you mentioned, there's a bonus of him being able to take a penalty, a free kick, a corner. All those things are an upgrade on both of them. Plus, he has been known to play it right back if needed.
And you say that, and we since I've got Maitland-Niles, and then they played Lianco over him.
Yes.
I think who I absolutely adore. He is my favourite player by far. I know you haven't asked that question. Who's my favourite player in that team? But I just love Lianco. I love the fact he's just like he embodies what we love as I love as a Saints fan. You know, even at the Wednesday game, the cup, because that's my most recent game of watching it there because I wasn't at Anfield. He's just got that smile on his face, like the ball boy hands over a towel to him for the throw-ins, and he gives a cheeky smile. He released the third kit.
Yeah, that was
just
brilliant.
Overexcited.
Just love him. Great. And against Arsenal, when I was watching there, I was just like, he just flicked the ball up and just booted it. And you're like, you are so Sunday League, but also I would not mess with you in any way.
No. actually, where I sit at St Mary's, I sit right in front of the where they warm up during the game. And whenever they come over, you know, all the players get a clap, and you get the little kids at the front row. They're all shouting for the players. And Lianco's always the one who gives a little cheeky smile and a thumbs up. He always does it. So, yeah he's just got time. He's got time for the fans. I've got a lot of time for him. He's definitely a hit.
Definitely. And he should be an England squad.
duty.
Yeah, 100% released in all of the things that we shouldn't be telling the like Iran or USA about our tactics. He'll just release them with a cheeky smile. I feel like with Prowse, you're spot on. Calvin Phillips doesn't deserve to be there in terms of his fitness, but I think the way that Gareth likes to play is it would be Phillips and Declan Rice in that middle. And therefore, I don't even know where you would put Prowse.
Just bring him on for a penalty.
Just bring it.
We're gonna have penalties at some point. We'll bring him on for a free kick.
But then I also think that maybe I think that I'm not saying that the England squad is clicky in some way, but you know, Rashford's in there. Do I think Rashford should be there? I mean, Callum Wilson's the one that I can't understand. Tony should be going ahead
definitely,
of him.
Definitely, Tony should be going. Yeah, I think him.
And you're a bit like, well, Gareth has. I think there's that connection, the atmosphere, the vibe of a squad, and I hate to say it, but you know, like perhaps he just doesn't fit in with that. Because it's obvious. Otherwise, if he was such part of the number with the United players and the Chelsea players, and he would be there, but he's not. And I don't see where he would fit in that lineup other than to come on and take a penalty. But I'm gutted for him, like genuinely, is the same. I feel like if he was showing that form from last year, he'd be in that situation where everyone was going, they wouldn't be considering Maddison. They'd be like, Prowsey should be going, what are you on about? And I think Maddison's going because the media have got behind him and he has played well. So he deserves to be going on that. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Kev, I mean, again, Twitter was up in arms about Prowse not making the squad. And I don't know, I was just holding my hands up saying, no, what were you expecting?
Like, yeah, I mean, I've resigned myself to him not going a long time before. And, you know, I think it's a positive that he's going to be there with the squad over the winter break. Form, he hasn't been on the form that he was last season. And, yeah, even last season, he sort of barely made the squad. So, yeah, it's not a surprise at all. No. But he's picked up this week. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not.
What, Lavia's back? No, I don't think it is.
Yes.
Yeah, and actually Lavia missed the squad for Belgium. That's no real surprise either, considering the wealth of talent that they've got at their disposal. But, you know, his time's going to come. Chaleta Zar missed out for Croatia. But Bela Kochak makes the Germany squad, which was amazing. I never expect... I mean, I did a piece for the BBC about whether he was going to be in that Germany World Cup squad. And then he went and dislocated his shoulder. And I thought, well, that's just kind of answered my own question. But the fact that he's in there now is fantastic. For a team like Germany, for a young lad like him, making his way at Southampton is exceptional. And I don't know about Garner. I don't know if they've even released their squad yet, but I do expect Solisi to be included in that one.
And with the source, as I like to refer to him, Bela Kochak, I think it was the pre-season against Watford. I paid, I think it was a fiver.
I did that.
And I was watching that and I thought Lavia looked good. But just ABK was just fantastic. He's just powerful, but loves to break forward. And I was thinking to myself then, I was like, this guy looks really good. In the same way that I thought Aribo looked quality as well. And he's sort of gone a bit quiet, but at times, but you know that potential is there. ABK deserves to be going somewhere with Germany. But like you, I thought maybe it's too soon for him because he's only made one appearance against England as a sub. So yeah, we'll miss out on him being there, but every other squad member should be there ready to sign on for Nathan's boot camp.
Yeah, absolutely. I just hope that the German manager, was it Hansi Flick, wasn't watching the game at Liverpool yesterday, because I don't think ABK had the best of times with Mo Salah. But I mean, who does?
Yeah.
A little bit of news as well. Moussa Djenepo became a father for the first time, so congratulations to Moussa. And Che Adams also on Tuesday. I didn't realise that until this morning, so I had to add that in. But yeah, congratulations to them guys. Kevin.
Baby Che.
Yeah, sorry, we call Samuel Adozie Baby Che because he just looks exactly like him. So that's two Baby Che's, yeah.
Yes, the Carabao Cup draw was made shortly after that humdinger against Sheffield Wednesday, and we get a brilliant tie of Lincoln City at home. We face the Imps on the 19th of December. It's probably the best team we could have drawn.
They're 13th in the Football League One. I don't like their badge. It creeps me out.
Yes, it's awful, isn't it? It's like, what is that all about?
And I'm not a fan of that at all.
I know they're going the retro, but Jesus Christ, yeah.
Is it retro? It's just intimidating. Maybe they need the badge. For a while, they were playing so badly, they were just like, if we have a scary badge, that'll put off opposition. Another team in red and white. So hopefully they've got an away kit that they can pop on and on for the St Mary's. The Imp sounds like a medical condition. And I feel like, it's a great tie for Southampton.
Not a banana skin.
No, I don't look at them. I thought Sheffield Wednesday would be a banana skin for us. Very physical, doing well in the league. I thought they gave us a lot of issues in the first half and just muscled. You talked about Baby Shea. He just got absolutely manhandled down the left flank. And I was like, is he going to last the full 90? I was like, no, he's been hacked to pieces here. But I don't see that as being a banana skin. And I think Nathan will get the team just like, we are going to batter this team like we kind of did against Newport last season in the cup. And just go out and basically there'll be, like I do when I'm playing cricket, there'll be a jug punishment for where you have to get a jug of beer in if you don't score two goals at least for the strikers. I want to see that. And it should be also done on the pitch. I know it's not great because we're sending the wrong message that you have to see off a whole jug of beer for kids. But if Mara doesn't score... Yes, and even with their Muslim players got caught up in all the beer going left, right and centre. Yeah, that should be it. It should be a fun punishment for any striker that doesn't score two goals against them. That's how I want Nathan getting that team lined up to play, because that will be his first real chance to manage the team with a full amount of training time with the players. But yeah, I don't see it as a banana skin at all.
Perfect. So that's Saints in the quarterfinals of the League Cup.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll take that. Thierry Small, he's returned from his loan spell at Port Vale, and he'll link up with the B team and won't be available for selection until the 1st of January. That was a bit of a shocker. But he's been dogged with injuries all season, and he's been in and out of that Port Vale team, and I don't think they've played him as much as they said they would. So, yeah, put him in the B team. I'm sure they could use him.
Yeah, and not only that, because he was a left back. Well, he is on his FIFA rating, and that's how I look at the world through FIFA. he actually was playing as a winger for them, and I think he scored a couple of goals based on the fact he was playing in a more attacking role. We saw his skill that he's got. It just, I feel like he needs a bit of an opportunity. It's kind of like when Mark Hughes was a manager. I keep harking on about that.
We're in a better position now. It's fine.
No, that is very true. I remember doing the team photo shoot day where fans were allowed to come and meet the players, and it was a horror show. It was my first bit of working for Southampton Football Club. Mark Hughes didn't even bother turning up for it, right? So I was immediately like, I don't particularly like that man.
He didn't bother turning up for match days either.
That is very, very true. And I remember I'm wearing the Saints sort of uniform for staff, and you did tell me I was able to curse on this show.
Of course,
it was a shit show, right? So they had everyone outside, and you had to queue up in three sections, and you had to choose which players you wanted to get something signed from, and you had to join that queue. And then some players weren't even there, and the boss at the time was like, just if you could just get on the mic and tell people that in an hour's time we are shutting the doors. And it just got worse and worse, because there's like just 10 minutes to go until we've shut the doors.
Oh dear.
And there were still people outside just shouting at me, and one guy called me a see you next Tuesday to my face. He went, you are, and I sort of backed down a bit, because I was like, well, I would like to continue working for the club. I do love the club, but at the same time, I don't like being called. I wanted to have words with him. I was like, what do you think I'm doing? And that's how you feel sometimes. There you're like, what can I do, mate? They've said they're shutting the doors. The players inside were like, well, we'll stay a little bit longer. But you would never get everyone through with their kids to get something. It was a shock. It was awful.
Throwing you to the lions, isn't it?
Mate, you
deal with it.
Yeah. Then I should have read the warning signs then, that I was then going to have to be in the tunnel and deal with fans not happy about the results on the pitch. It's far easier when you're a fan and you can say what you want to when you're actually there. But what I was going to say about that was the fact that Elanusi didn't have much of a chance and then got shipped off. And I feel like that could be the equivalent. I'm making that very tenuous link there, that Thierry, for whatever reason, Ralph was like, go and get some game time elsewhere. I don't see you in my plans. Maybe he might, you never know, could become, after January, an integral part of the team. That could be quite good to see, because we signed him from Everton. Give the lad a chance.
Yeah, Jake Vokens as well. I mean, I saw him at the B team, at the Tottenham Stadium, Snow Stadium, and I thought Jake Bokens looked fantastic in one of them games, and then Ralph sent them to Woking.
Yeah, and now they're doing very well. So yeah. You do the math, because I went and watched them last year, and I thought, this is the worst decision I've ever made to go and watch Woking play. But you've kind of got, I think Nathan will look at reassess all of the squad and be like, I like a bit of you. Not so keen on that, but yeah, and just give everyone a second chance, and that's never a bad thing. But regardless of whatever manager came in, that could happen. Yeah. So Thierry Small coming back, good, well done, good.
And he got face to face with Will Smallbone when Luton played Stoke on Tuesday night as well. So it would have been good for him to see him play.
Yeah, I mean, Will was looking good pre-season, and then there just wasn't enough room in the team, and we can all question whether Romeo should have been let go at that point of the season. It's just classic Southampton luck, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lavi is injured. Oh, don't worry, we've got, oh no, we just sent him off to Spain. Oh shit.
Yeah, perfect. Right, we've got a couple of birthdays, so you're gonna have to guess their ages. So I'm guessing you're pretty clued up and you're gonna know whose birthdays it was. So we've got Morgan Schneidlin, whose birthday was on Monday. How old is Morgan now?
He is 70. No, he.
Oh, pretty close. Yeah, pretty close.
Is he something like 36?
Okay, Kevin.
That would have been my exact guess. I'm going to go under than 35.
He's 33.
Ah. What?
Yeah, he's 33. I hope that's right. I'm going to look like a right twat if it's not. But yeah. And Tino. Tino's birthday was on Saturday, so yesterday. How old is Tino?
21.
Oh, good. I'm glad Kev went first, because I'm going to go lower 20.
He is 20, yes. He's not a teenager anymore. He is now 20. Shame on you, Kevin.
I love that. Sorry, this is a sort of mild plug, but really not. Nathan Teller put out an Instagram post on his stories of three people in the picture, one of which he was. He said, happy birthday to Tino. And I was like, that's me in the picture. Why am I not getting a shout out? Just because you're doing really well at Burnley, Nath. Don't about us. That was a bit of FIFA action. Both really nice lads.
Met Tino last year, didn't we, Kev?
Oh, yeah, he was having a bit of cheeky fried chicken after the match in the fan zone.
I don't think he was eating, was he? He just come over.
He was wolfing down some fried chicken.
It was last season, wasn't it? But it was before he had his crew shirt. Yeah, so we had a chat with him then. And, yeah, he seems like a nice guy. So
Good lad, yeah. And it was with Breuer as well, Armando. And they just seemed like really nice lads. Do you know what I mean?
He's
like,
dead to me now. I don't want to talk about Bro, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm still sad.
Well, yeah,
I take him back though.
Yeah, I think I would. I take any striker that can guarantee they're going to score goals. But he, the lads, when I was just chatting to them, you kind of realise how young they are. As Tino, as we just found out, is only 20, but they just got their head screwed on, and they kind of got a little bit of banter with each other, and you're like, I was working with them for a short amount of time, and I felt like I was part of the crew. And then Nathan didn't even post my bloody name to. I was there as well. I was in the picture.
You should totally call him out. You should.
He's dead. Nathan's dead to me.
that should be the reply. You're dead.
Oh, right. Okay, moving on. The B team then. They played on Monday the 7th of November against Sunderland away, and they won 3-1. Jimmy Morgan got a brace and earned himself a call-up to the first team. He was on the bench against Sheffield Wednesday, of course, but he didn't see any action. They are second in the table now, I believe, and they are 6 points behind Leeds. And their next game is actually right now. It's probably just finished, actually. Sunday the 13th, that's Everton away. So I'll have to check that in a bit. The women's team, no games played since their win at home to Coventry. But Marianne Spacey-Cowell picked up a championship player of the month for October. So that was good. Tom, did you ever get to meet Marianne Spacey-Cowell?
I did. And I have to say, I wouldn't have minded her being our manager, to be honest. She is like awesome.
Yeah, she's lovely.
She's so nice, but not just that. She comes with a resume. Her CV is phenomenal. And I interviewed her during lockdown via Zoom. And I'd interviewed her once before in a kind of partnership with her and Ralph for a Saints, I think it was like a summer day, like a party day at the stadium. Anyway, bonkers. But Marianne, I just really, she's just a wealth of knowledge. And what she does so well is she's so proud of her team and she inspires them and to get promotion. And I went to watch them last year and their only loss, because that's the sort of good vibes I bring. I know. They actually asked me, could you not come again? But I just think what she's doing with that team is just like amazing and fantastic. And I saw them in the cup run as well, and when they beat Bristol City at St Mary's, and you're just like, it's a proper feel-good factor for anyone who's listening who's like, nah, I don't want to go along. You should 100% go and watch the women's team, because they've got a brilliant manager, great staff and coaching team around them, and they're doing amazingly in the Championship. I think they're third. So, and they've got really exciting potential England players, Welsh internationals. Yeah, feel good factor, which I want back in the men's team as well.
I went to see him a few times last year and I thought it was brilliant. We actually had former player Rachel Panting on the show last season, and I was trying to get some dirt on Marianne Spacey-Cowell. Not dirt as such, but I don't know what she's like in the dressing room. I don't know. I can't imagine her getting angry with the players, and she had nothing but nice things to say about her, saying that she's just amazing. So that's brilliant, and that team is just fantastic to watch.
And do you know what? I just to throw it out there, they've got the Saints Foundation, which is Southampton's charity arm, and hosting the dinner earlier in the year with Kenzie Benali, and we had Marianne up on stage, and the way she talked, it's not like, you know, sometimes with footballers they want to do something, so they do some charity work or they donate their time or whatever they do. The way she spoke was straight from the heart, and it's the only time I've got the lip quiver, you know, like I'm going here. I'm actually gonna cry with what she was about the older generation in Southampton and what Saints Foundation do, and they call them Generation Gains, and I was like, yeah, people are lonely, and I was about to go, and Kenzie looked at me and I was like, I might start crying here if she doesn't talk to her. That's how powerful she is. When she talks, people listen, and great. Sorry, I went off on one there, but no, I think brilliant.
That's fine, that's what you're here for.
Okay, good. I'm crying now actually thinking about it. I'm sorry, lads, I've got it.
And the under-18s, they haven't had a game since that 1-1 draw at Everton, and they play next on Saturday, the 19th of November, and that's Arsenal away at the Arsenal Training Centre. Right then, Tom, we're going to talk about Sheffield Wednesday a bit. Now, I didn't go to that game because Wednesday night is my night off, and I just wanted to stay at home with my wife, to be honest, instead of watching that turd on the pitch, and I'm quite glad that I did. So we were entering the game with Ruben Sellers at the helm, and Nathan Jones was obviously, he was there, he was watching from the stands, and we knew there was going to be some changes. And I mean, I'm always intrigued by the starting lineup for a League Cup game, because it's a good chance to see some players that we don't normally see enough of, you know, academy youngsters getting their chances. And of course, this game was even more of an intriguing one, because Sellers was naming the 11. And despite what we thought last week, we thought we were going to see Dominic Ballard. We didn't. It was a strong 11. Well, I suppose it was, wasn't it? Everyone involved had played some first team football this season. Some fringe players like Adozi, Gineppo getting the start. Were you happy with the selection, Tom?
I didn't mind it. I travelled up on my own. I was Billy No Mates watching. And I thought, why not? Like, you've got to put a strong side out, because Sheffield Wednesday were coming there to disrupt things and getting that pass through to the next round. So we had to be a strong side because we're lacking in confidence. Good to see Maka in goal, give him some minutes. And without ruining the result, I feel like I'm on TV. Without ruining the result, if you don't know, we got through on a penalty shootout, and he made the all-important save in that. I felt a little bit uneasy. I always do with Gineppo. I love him. I love his passion. And when I've been in the tunnel, when, as you pointed out, I used to work at the club. No, it's absolutely fine. I will quiet that. But I love that. Like, he's just his passion, heart on the sleeve. But sometimes you just don't know where that ball's going or what he's going to do. And I don't think he knows sometimes what he's going to do. So when I saw he was right back, I was like, what's going on here with Salisu on the left? But it soon transpired when you watched, it was about Gineppo staying as close to the touchline and Adozi. It seemed like we were going back to long ball tactics, kicking it as hard and far as we could. And
Sean Dyche is coming in.
Mate, I thought, yeah, it just felt like that. I was like, This is interesting. Ruben Selles, for all the talk, is just trying to get the ball over the back of the defenders for our pace, Adam Armstrong and Mara and Adozie and Gineppo to get onto. And it didn't work. We looked pretty flat and it just fell away from us. And then when Wednesday scored, I was like, well, this could be horrendous. But I didn't mind that lineup. When I looked at it, I thought, okay, let's see what happened. And it wasn't until the second half when I haven't seen the penalty incident back, but it looked pretty much like he did get taken down, Gineppo.
Yeah.
Doesn't usually take much, though.
No.
He hasn't got a lot of meat on him, has he? He's a bit...
So maybe that's why he was in the starting lineup. But I felt like when Pero came on, we were more attacking in that second half. But watching Ballard and the other youngsters possibly have a chance, I was like, oh, I was looking forward to seeing them. But as it went to longer in the game, I was like, they're not going to get an opportunity here because we need the experience to get us through the game.
Yeah, and that's it. Kev, we saw Lewis Payne on the bench. We saw Nico Lawrence and Jimmy Morgan. But, you know, as Tom said, the state of the game at that point, none of them were going to see any action, which was really unfortunate. But,
yeah, they'll get a chance against Lincoln, hopefully.
Oh, hopefully, yeah. Well, I mean, I might be on it against Lincoln.
Part of me really wants to see that, though. He really wants to see it.
Who's that?
Just a moment. But I was saying that about Don Ballard before. You know, he's scoring goals. You know, you choose an England team, you think on merit and ability and how they're performing. He deserves to be in that, you know, given more of a chance. But yeah, maybe that would be throwing him too much into the deep end.
I don't know. I think that lad's got so much ability and so much confidence. I think it'll be very long before Nathan Jones gives him a chance, because even in the B team, the games that I've watched him in, he has just been all over the place, just full on energy, chasing down lost causes, and a bit like Adam Armstrong, but he has the ability to put the ball in the net as well. So,
And if he's got that confidence, which Adam Armstrong does all the running and chomping at the defenders when they got the ball. But I mean, it happened at Arsenal. It was almost like a one-on-one, but it wasn't really. He just lost the ball from his feet. You can see a player who just doesn't have that confidence. They've got the ability. It's that mind over matter. When he gets close to shooting, he's already thinking, I'm going to miss. And that is the worst place for him to be in. But then you drop him, put him on the bench, he'll lose confidence even more. So it's a real tough one to know what to do with him, to be honest.
But yeah, and not the best performance overall. It was quite flat, especially the first half. And I know he had chances, and I know that Stuart Armstrong hit the bar, and you mentioned the Walcott chance, and I just guess that Jones couldn't have been too impressed with what he saw. But considering it wasn't our strongest 11, and Wednesday are, you know, they're in form at the moment, they're third, aren't they, in League One? So we have to take the win, and then we have to look forward to Lincoln.
Yeah, and how confident they were at penalties as well. I thought, oh, well, this is how we're going to go. This is going to just crush us.
Good penalties, yeah.
Really, really good penalties. Maitland-Niles, my particular favourite. I feel like, can that lad run? Can he run? Can he really run? Because it didn't look like he wanted to run. He did look like someone who was like, I need to go to the toilet immediately after taking this. He's going to do a Jason Puncheon.
You know that I hate those kind of penalties where they take the little steps and try.
Oh, yeah, you hate
really
it.
Really fucking wrecks my cage. Yeah. Him and Diallo both did that.
And they both buried them. I was worried about Walcott, because Walcott took one, didn't he? And
Walcott took an amazing
one. It was brilliant. It was at the roof of the net, wasn't it? And I was like, oh my God, that takes some balls to do that. But for someone like Walcott, his finishing's not exactly his strongest point. But
Macca's penalty save as well. The Russian Saints fans were liking him to Akinfeev in the World Cup. He's just a ninja. That leg save. What can I say? Yeah, it was a disappointing performance overall. Maybe more frustrating in the second half, because I think we were the better team. We had the chances, and just same story of our entire season. Just can't convert them
so far.
It's a shame that it had to go to penalties, but got through in the end. We're in the draw. That's the main thing.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll put the Wednesday game to bed. So we'll go on to the Liverpool one and the start of the Nathan Jones era. Couldn't have been more difficult start for him. And we failed to score from our last five visits to Anfield. But on the plus side, it took us just 9 minutes to put a stop to that run. Jurgen Klopp would have to sit this one out after his touchline ban for his red card against Man City. It was the Premier League's longest serving manager against the newest, by the way. So Tom, Jones had just 2 days with the squad. Nothing too radical with his team selection. It was just going to be a question of his approach to this one, I think, because would he set up and try and frustrate Liverpool, or would he roll the dice and say, you know, I'm going to go for this?
I think when the lineup came out, we were like, okay, we're basically going with three centre-backs, Kolasinac, Berkatov, and Salisu, and then Perrault, and Elneny ended up playing the right-back role or the wing-back. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind it. I thought, okay, well, Lavia's back. We could actually do something and turn up, and because I think he just makes James Ward-Prowse's role that much easier in the team. He seems to improve when Lavia's there.
Freedom, yeah.
And I like Stewie Armstrong. I think he's just attacking minded. I liked it, and I like the fact he's playing two strikers up front. Although mm-hmm. you know, Adam Armstrong is not necessarily a striker at the moment, but he's playing someone up in a striker role. I'm being too harsh to the lad, but yeah, I didn't mind it at all. I thought he was just saying to the guys, just go out there and play with a bit of freedom and express yourself. That's kind of what a manager does when you don't know the squad that well. But it just didn't pan out again. I feel like we struggle in first halves this season. Mm-hmm. And same again, and Liverpool just looked rampant, and we were a bit like, oh no, what are we going to do here? And fair to Nathan, he changed it in the second half.
He did, yeah, he certainly did. Kevin, three changes that he made with Chalesar, Lavia, and Armstrong in. Were you happy with those selections? Were you a little bit underwhelmed with it? Did you think he was going to change things up a little bit more than he did?
I think his hands are tied really with the players we've got and the injuries we've got. I don't know, maybe Maitland-Niles could have been included somehow. But you know, I was more just interested to see what he was going to do with the team and what system are we going to play. I'm not entirely sure that he does know what system we're going to be playing. But no. Yeah, three or five at the back. I suppose that's to be expected at Anfield, isn't it?
Just frustrate them, yeah, and just don't completely fuck it up.
It didn't take long for them to go do the shit, didn't it?
Well, I mean, Tom, hands up, like, did you think when that first Liverpool goal went in that this is going to be another stuffing? Did you?
No. No, I did. Oh, no, really? I've got no full confidence in Nathan Jones. No, of course I did. I was like, oh no, here we go. I believed you then.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, because I'm believable sometimes. I felt like it was the Arsenal game at St Mary's when they finally scored, because they'd had three brilliant chances before to put one away. I thought, oh no. And it's almost like as if the first goal goes in against for Saints, we go, oh right, we're playing. All right, yeah, cool. And then they sort of turn up, so I didn't know. I felt like, well, how are we going to get a goal here? The job's becoming even more difficult. But I was not expecting Jay Adams to get that goal. But when he did, I felt we can do this again. That kind of false hope comes in.
We're massive.
Yeah, we can do this. Yeah, we're like
Southampton in Europa. Here we go.
away days are coming. Honestly, this Anfield, I think it was a free hit for Nathan to go in. I didn't expect us to win this game. Maybe we could pick up a draw. So when Jay Adams scored, I was like, we've got a chance. This is it. And then, yeah, just it's the hope that kills you, isn't it?
It certainly is, yeah. Oh, God, don't we know that. But I want to ask both of you guys this question. Chalesar, I've been quite reluctant to give my opinions on him because, you know, he's settling in, but he's quite an experienced centre back, I suppose, when it comes to our team. But I've really, really turned away from him a little bit. He's very, very physical. He's giving away a lot of free kicks. He could have given away a penalty against Palace, probably should have done. And obviously they scored from the free kick that he gave away, picked up a yellow card straight away into the game. Am I wrong to be taking a massive dump on him already? Not literally, you understand. I'm not going to do that.
No, I don't think you're wrong to sort of let everybody know your reservations about him. I think he's quite a physical defender. He doesn't give a yard of, off the attacker. So how he got away with a few fouls on Gabriel Jesus for Arsenal, I'm not entirely sure, or Lianco. I think those three centre backs are quite physical, Salisu as well, and I think that's their style, is to get stuck in. I feel, none of them have a great deal of pace, so no. I feel like he has to get so tight to the attackers.
And I do get it. You're playing against Gabriel, you're playing against Zaha, you're playing against Mo Salah. They are going to get round you. They're going to run rings around you at some point in the game. It's going to be difficult. I get that. But why are you putting your fucking hands all over him like that? You can't do that. It's like they don't know. And it's very, very worrying. And I feel that we've got a lot of penalties to give away.
And when we haven't so far, so you're kind of like, we'll take that. But I feel like they're trying to make their mark physically on us, or that kind of pretense that we're going to be a physical at the back and we're going to get stuck in, but we just get undone sometimes by a bit of skill. I mean, the header from Bobby Firmino, it was just like, what are we doing? I mean, we've let him get the header. He had Elneny on him defending. Well, don't put Moy on Firmino. Like, what are you doing? So I think Nathan Jones is going to have to shore up the defence in terms of set pieces. But then wasn't that Ruben Selis's job? So I don't know. I feel like I don't mind our defense, like the defenders, but they can't just get stuck in like they did against Newcastle. That's when we got battered because they were diving in. So they're going to have to learn at some point, put it all together for one match at least.
Yeah, that would be nice. but Kevin, it was a good response, wasn't it? Because after Firmino scored, next 10-15 minutes, they did something that I didn't expect, and they just went for it. And it was a perfect answer, and it was kind of a carbon copy, wasn't it, Shea's goal? But a better one.
What, the Liverpool goal?
Yeah.
Pretty much. They just sort of need a kick in the arse, don't they? Concede a goal, and then, like Tom said, they kind of just switch on. It was a foul this time. The roles reversed. Firmino... foul on Perot, and Ward-Prowse, spectacular free kick.
Yeah, given the finger to Southgate at the time.
Yeah, I think it's just,
can Calvin Phillips do that? No.
So it's a moot point now, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have to let it go. But all season, he's been, by his standards, fucking shocking. And
even his corners have been bad, haven't they? They're not
enough. Yeah. Just any set pieces. He was good against Wednesday, and he was good here. Shea gets in the end of it, doesn't put too much weight on the header. Fantastic. And at that point, I was excited.
Shea does make those goals look good, don't he? That one he scored against Bournemouth, the one he scored here, the headers, he just makes them look fantastic. A proper goal scoring. Yeah, he just looks like a proper footballer when he does that. But he needed it, though, didn't he? One goal in his previous 11, and that was, of course, that was the Bournemouth one. Doesn't seem to be having trouble finishing with his head, but you put it on the ground and he's been squandering them.
Yeah, he headed it wide pretty much from the kickoff, didn't he, as well?
Oh, yeah. I chose to forget that one.
At the death, he just had sort of these identical chances. He could have had a hat-trick of Enders if he'd... known where he's going to put it. But yeah, I don't know, you feel with Che, you put so much effort in every match, and I think that, just with a bit more confidence and a bit more of a level head, that he can score 10 or 15 a season. It's going to come.
Easily. I think it definitely, because he puts himself in these opportunities or positions to score. Palace, he had two shots right at the keeper, Gator, and you're like, to either side, just being clinical is what he's not. And, if you think of Che Adams' goals, you're like, Man City from almost the halfway line. Yeah. Sheffield United was an absolute bullet when he just let rip. It's the same with Adam Armstrong. If you give them too much time to think about it, inevitably we're not a clinical, finishing side.
That's not what you want from your main striker, though, is it?
No, not at all. But he does, to be fair, puts himself in those situations. If he didn't make that header, Kaleta Sarr might have been able to put his head on it. I thought it was a really great set piece. And for Shea Adams to score, you just like him. Like he's you don't dislike Shea Adams. You love him. The fact that he said we could be top. Yeah. Oh, is he? Okay. Oh, okay. He's your favourite. Oh, okay. I still love the fact he said we could be at top of the Premier League.
There's no. In the league. Of course, we won't have been that accused.
After the goal, I think Liverpool settled and they used the ball better. Obviously, their movement, the key passes that they had, they were just too much for us. And Bazunu made a save from Salah, which was wonderful. Really, really good save. Mm. I'm pleased for Bazunu as well because he's been taking a lot of it from fans, me included, actually. I've been giving him some stick, but
And that first goal, I don't know why. Like I expected him to react a lot quicker than he did.
I don't know. I just maybe I expect too much from him because when I was listening to who did we have on the show when we signed Bazunu, and someone who said that he's already established himself as Ireland number one and he's only 20 and I wasn't so sure when we first signed him because of where he come from as well. Well, not City. I'm talking about the other team up the M27.
Oh,
yeah. And I don't know. I was just kind of a little bit reserved on him. And then I got talked up to how good this guy is going to be. And I've just been a little bit underwhelmed with him. I've already mentioned on the show that I don't think he deals with crosses very well. He's a very good shot stopper, as we saw in that Liverpool game as well. But I don't know. Maybe I'm
just another Angus Gunn, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't want to say that. I'm not going to say that. Because he's the number one. He's my goalkeeper, and I'm going to back him completely. I just feel like I'm allowed to say that. I was just expecting a little bit more from him.
Yeah, that's fair, I think.
Yeah, and Tom, like Liverpool, when they settled in, and Darwin Nunez scores his first goal, that should have been avoided because we had multiple chances to clear the ball. We looked compact as well.
Five.
Oh, okay. I'm glad we were just like swiping wildly to clear, weren't we? And then kind of like once Harvey Elliott got the ball, they just kind of stood still and just let him pick out Nunez, and yeah, he just tucked it away. Good finish.
Yeah, just dinked over ABK's head. Stewie Armstrong could have cleared it, didn't. And yeah, like Nunez, if Nunez scores past you, you're in trouble. Because he cannot hit. It's got like it's funny, isn't it? Because I'm not watching sort of highlights of Liverpool's players at the start because you see it on Twitter. Nunez is terrible. Why have we spent all this money? And then you look at him finish like that and you're like, if only he's had him. it's a funny mind game that goes on. But yeah, it just when you've got that many chances to clear, they will just punish you. And that's just a simple error, simple mistake. And then we're 2-1 down at that point.
I thought Harvey Elliott had a good game. I've been quite impressed with how he's come about. But we're not talking about Liverpool because I don't like them. All their attacks, Tom, seemed to go down Elianusi's side. And I don't think that was a coincidence. Their movement and their passing, we just couldn't challenge them. And that pass from Firmino to Robertson, it takes Elianusi completely out of it. And if you look at that point when Robertson has the ball and he's about to cross it for the third Liverpool goal, Elianusi couldn't keep up with him. And there's five Saint shirts in the box and just two Liverpool ones. And that pass from Robertson is just perfect. And
it's beautiful.
I don't know. Did Chaleta Sarr do enough defensively there? Or was that pass just too good?
Well, I think it was the one just before from Bobby Firmino that just picks out Robertson and then he crosses it in. I think the problem with playing three at the back is whose man is yours. Do you know what I mean? Like you're more kind of like protecting the space, but you're not actually saying, well, he's my man or he's yours. And I think he just got lost between him and ABK is like, he was yours. Oh, okay, cool. He's mine. Like that. So that's the problem of playing three centre backs. Because normally they say that about England. If you're going to play three centre backs, it means that you're not confident with just two. Like they're not good enough as a two. I don't know if I believe that, but I don't know. I'd rather just stick with two centre backs and then have a right back and a left back and not have Elanusi having to do too much defending. I would prefer to just to choose two centre backs, and maybe that was the way to go against Liverpool.
Romeo in the hole.
Yeah.
Conventional, yeah.
Let's buy him back.
Yeah, second half was better. I mean, we drew 0-0 in the second half, so that's to be applauded.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I've got to take the positives out of this. Come on. Jones made some changes, right? He bought both Armstrongs off. Gillette Zaha went off, which I wasn't upset to see. Walcott comes on, which I know you were, Kev, to see him come on. Adozie comes on. Maitland-Niles on also. He went to a back four. Maitland-Niles goes to right back. This is good because that seemed to work. And we were creating some openings. And I think there was Elianusi grabbed the ball from a Perot pass and went one-on-one with Alisson, who made the save. He made some really, really good saves as well. And Tom, Liverpool had a penalty shout. Now, I was convinced that they would get that. Bela Kocak got caught out and just, you know, Salah snatched the ball and was there enough contact or was Salah looking for it?
I think it's like when you look at Saka for Arsenal keeps being booked for what's deemed as a dive. I think once you get that name amongst reputation, then it just worked in our favour. I think it probably could have been given easily, but wasn't, and I think we got away with one. But to be fair, like just mentioning Shea Adams' header, just fantastic saves from Alisson at his feet against Adozie and Elanusi. What a different game that could have been had their goalkeeper not kept him in it, or at least we could have been 3-2, you know, and it could have changed everything. But yeah, ABK very lucky there, and that means that we're gonna lose a penalty against us, which shouldn't be a penalty. the law. Yin and yang. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, those two saves from Alisson that Tom mentioned, Kev, were fantastic. He's a bloody good goalkeeper, and I think Brazil are gonna have a good chance at the World Cup. They're very, very good. And Adozie, nothing short of exciting. In the bite-sized minutes that we've seen of him, he offers us something completely different because he's got that swagger and a little bit of confidence.
Energy.
I think it's only a matter of time before he breaks into that first team on a regular basis. And Nathan Jones must be relishing the chance to work with a player like that.
Yeah, I hope so. Although one could complain of Ralph, I think. We were talking about Belinda Lecour. He said that Ralph had hit the desperation button, marked the old Walker with predictable results. And then Nathan Jones goes and does exactly the same thing. Bring some Walker to try and change things.
Yeah. Nothing too radical, like I said, in his team selection. Nothing too radical with his changing it. It's kind of like he's too afraid to change something in case it goes drastically wrong. It's kind of like J.J. Abrams with Star Wars.
But, I mean, it is a bit of a free hit at this point. And if we're trying to get into the game, Liverpool were really just going through the motions in that second half. So there was a chance for him to experiment with basically anyone he wanted. Walcott, I don't think that worked out. Adozie, looked fresh. Maitland-Niles is probably the utility player that Elianusi isn't. I guess we knew that anyway.
Yeah, and that was it, Tom. 3-1. It was a good second half. I think take the positives out of that. Created some chances. We denied Liverpool in that second half, Kevin. Don't laugh. And if only that third hadn't have gone in, because I think Nathan Jones said it, that third one killed them just before the half. So if that hadn't gone in, it could have been a different story.
Yeah, how many games this year can we say that? Really say that. I mean, that Palace game just sticks in my mind because I'm like, Stewie Armstrong hit the post, and you're just like, if Shea had hit those on past Gator, we could be looking at different points. We could be in the mid-table at the very least.
I'd still be here as well.
Exactly, Kev. Me and you would still be happy with the situation. good old Ralph Hampton, and Ralph we trust. But yeah, look, it's just being a bit more clinical. I really like Adozie. I think he offers us a player that actually likes taking on the opposition. That is something that Elanusi doesn't do.
Gineppo does.
Yeah, Gineppo, the classic step over legs, flashing about here, there and everywhere. But I just feel more comfortable or more certain that Adozie's not going to lose the ball. I know that's the weird thing. It's just psychology. But I just feel Adozie looks like he likes to get and attack players and take them on with skill. And he's only going to grow in confidence. He had that miss. Well, Alisson, great save. I think he's a player that's going to build in confidence. So he should be the one that we utilise more because he's going places, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I just want to discuss Adam Armstrong. I know we've talked about him a little bit, but taken off, taken some flack again. I mean, is this a situation that's going to thrive under Jones? Well, you said it has to. And I've seen a lot of people comparing him with the likes of Guido Carrillo, and just in the sense that he didn't get as much time as Armstrong has had. And I saw a quote on social media which made me chuckle. It said, if Adam Armstrong was naked on the pitch, I still wouldn't have noticed him. But yeah, is his time only going to get better?
I bloody hope so. For him, he just seems like a top guy, and he doesn't stop running, and he puts all that effort in. You just want him. I don't know, the Premier League's brutal because you only get maybe one chance in a game and you've got to take it. He's not right now that striker. He doesn't look like he's got any confidence or form, and that is weighing on him, as you can evidently see. But who else are we going to play in his place, realistically?
Ballard.
I think Nathan Jones will hopefully in this little pre-season will get him up and running in terms of being a bit more clinical, and for Shea Adams as well. And if he can't, then we'll sell him for a discount.
Yep. That's the way it's going.
Has Ballard actually got more goals for the first team this season than Armstrong?
Yep, one. Against Cambridge, wasn't it, in the cup? Yeah. Kevin, have you got any stats?
Ooh. I don't have the XG.
I do.
Oh, right, okay. Give us the XG then.
Okay, so XG for Saints was 1.1. And XG for Liverpool, go on, have a guess.
2.4.
No, it's 1.9. Yeah. Rest of the stats.
Liverpool didn't dominate the possession as much as I thought they would. 60% to 40.
60% is quite a dominating possession.
It's been much worse for us then.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot less of the ball than we did. Yeah, 15 shots to their 9.
So we had 9 shots or 15.
We had 9 shots. Yeah.
Okay.
No corners.
No? Well, didn't spot that.
Liverpool had 6. So are those 9 shots? 5 on target.
Yeah, all saved by Alisson, apart from the...
This is the thing, you know, I was watching the match. I felt so despondent at full time. But, you know, on Twitter and social media and everything afterwards, everyone was sort of so positive. I think, were they seeing something that I wasn't?
I don't think it was a complete disaster. I predicted 4-0.
We scored. Yeah. I think first and foremost, it's just a feeling, isn't it? When you watch a game, you like this player, I like that player. It's a lot of it's on a feeling, and you know when Ralph was winning or getting points, it sort of papered over those cracks of are we a good side? And I think this season we don't know if we are really a good side yet. Watching the Liverpool game, I was like, oh, bloody hell, we had chances here. We could have been really in this game. And then you get a fan, like Kev just said, yeah, Liverpool kind of switched off in the second half. They took it easy. And you're like, well, don't say that, because now I don't even know if we are good enough. You know, so you go round in this perpetual circle of, are we good enough? Are these players, you know, the answer? It's tough, but you, like looking at the stats against Newcastle, they had 4 shots on target and they scored 4 goals.
Yeah.
You know, and then you try and work that out. You're like, well, are we terrible or are they really good? And I saw enough of the game in terms of creating opportunities that we can score more goals. But when I see some of the defending, I'm like, well, we're gonna have to score. Well, we're not gonna score enough because the opposition are gonna score two more than us.
Yeah. I just want to read some comments that Nathan Jones said at post game. He said, first half, we were too passive. We won't be that passive.
No,
again.
I want you to do the accent.
No, I'm not doing the accent. I don't do the Welsh show. I don't do any accents. I'm terrible. I promised an aggressive nature in terms of going after things, and we will be more aggressive in the future. I want us to work on that. Second half, I thought we had a real good reaction in terms of the players that came on. In terms of the way we went about it, we should have scored second half. We had few chances, but there's a bit of work to do. He also said that he's learnt enough from today. Not a lot. He said, I've learnt enough. So that's positive.
Bold statement, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. I don't need to learn anymore. I've done enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Now.
Yeah. That's what I'm reading into anyway. So he knows exactly what he's going to do against Lincoln. He's going to put me on. And he knows what he's going to do against Brighton. So this is good. Down to 19th in the table then. Luckily, Wolves beaten again. I think, 1 point behind Forest now. Difficult times, but we do have this break. And there's a chance for Nathan Jones to really dig deep. And I feel like he's going to be a very, very busy man during this World Cup. Not watching England against Wales. Man of the match, Tom. Do you want to go first? Who was your man of the match?
Who do you give it to? Shea Adams, because of the goal and. It was a brilliant header as well. And unfortunately, it was a world class save from Alisson. So Shea, I like that. Normally, when Shea scores one goal, he'll score maybe a couple more in the next game, and then they stop for a while. So I'm looking forward to a couple more goals from him.
Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, again, like I said, at the end Walcott. Of the game, I wasn't thinking that there was a performance that stood out. But looking back and thinking about it, Bazunu pulled off quite a few decent saves, so I think he deserves a shout. Ward-Prowse looks almost back to his former self, but I'm going to also go with Shea Adams. Yeah, just because Shea.
Because Shea, yeah, that's a hat trick. I'm going to go with Shea as well because of the goal. And he was fed mostly scraps, wasn't he? But on the whole, I don't think there was anyone that really stood to attention. But yeah, the goal, it did it for me. So yeah, fantastic. Tom, just before we let you go, just want to discuss a few more things. The season so far with you, it has been a difficult season. We're dealing with inconsistencies, you know, a lack of goals, mixed transfer window, and just a bad feeling around the club. And I freely admit that I found it tough to get motivated to go to St Mary's this season on occasions. But how have you seen it?
I started the season with a lot of optimism. I went to watched the Watford game online from the safety of my own house. I saw the game against Monaco. I went and watched that. And then it sort of went downhill from there. Yeah, it's just like I felt like we the Leeds comeback to all, you know, we got that and I thought, oh, there is a side here fighting, ready for this season. And then getting the win against Leicester, when I sat next to just humble brag, sat next to Nigel Adkins for the Man United game.
Oh, we love Nigel.
What a bloke and what a fascinating bloke to listen to how he's seeing the game.
I would love to get Nigel Adkins on this show. I have tried, but he's ignoring me. Ricky Lambert too. If you've got any pull there, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, no, I'd definitely send a word. I don't have either of their numbers. The Man United game, I felt like we deserved more, didn't get it. And then you're kind of like, well, are we a team that deserves more and just aren't? And the loss against Wolves, the 1-0 against Villa, we were lucky at that time not to have to play Brentford because they were firing on all cylinders. So it's a real mixed bag. I look at some of those results. Yeah. I really look at the results. And I'm like, we should be dominating some games and other games we're lucky not to have been absolutely thumped. So it's a real mixed bag. And I think if I was Nathan Jones, I would love this opportunity because there's potential here to be doing a lot, obviously a lot better than we are. And I can see it's just a couple of changes that could get us there.
Kevin, what to expect for the rest of the season?
Expect, as usual, expect the unexpected. I have no idea. We're either going to be in the Championship or in Europe.
Either in Championship or in Europe. That's it, right? There's no fine line. Yeah,
there's just no in between.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But yeah, we have to back this manager, don't we? And believe that we can turn this around. And I'm fully behind him. I'm trying to stay positive.
You look at the Lincoln, good boost again. Okay, let's score some goals. Thank you. Do the
Everyone's
jug a bit.
Score two, yeah.
Everyone gets a jug. And then Brighton will be a tough game on Boxing Day. I'm going into that. Looking forward to it. Brighton,
me too.
I think you can't knock them. They're a very strong side. Then we've got Fulham and Nottingham Forest. So I look at that and what a turnaround.
So Southampton in Europa.
Yeah. And then Everton, who have been absolute
I don't know. They beat us, didn't they, at St Mary's, and that was one of the worst experiences this season. Because that was awful.
It's usually the worst experience each season, isn't it, against Everton?
At Goodison.
Well, we don't do well at Goodison, but out of those four fixtures in the Premier League, you're like, well, we should be able to pick, you know, like, should have, would have, could have. But I look at those four fixtures and I go, Nathan's got a fantastic start here of games that you're like, these are winnable. You can win these games. It's not like we're playing United away straight away. And then, do you know what I mean? Now look at, maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but I feel like there's a good chance. And if we come at that point with some more points on, under our belt, I would feel a lot more confident.
Excellent. And the World Cup, I mean, I don't know if it's because it's in the middle of the season, whether Christmas is kind of trumping it, but, and because of the human rights, I don't want to get involved in any of that. But I mean, and well, Saints, they've been dramatic, haven't they, in the lastly. So I'm not really thinking about the World Cup, and I don't know how you're feeling about it. Are you up for it, or are you just, you know, completely against it?
I've got a fixture list on my fridge. I'll update that after every game. I'm probably not going to watch all the games. Qatar, Ecuador to start with. I'll be just thinking of Delgado from back in the day. So I'll probably be supporting them. Always the underdog. Will anyone have a sweepstake with me? I don't know. That's how I feel about the World Cup. I feel like when it starts, I'll be well into it. But at the moment, I couldn't care less.
Yeah, that's about exactly the same place. Yeah, that's about the feeling around the city at the moment. But were you happy with the squad selection?
Do you know what? It's one of those where I care, but I don't care. I care more about Southampton right now, and that's taken up all my energy. That I'm like, do you know what? Harry Kane's there, probably score some goals. I'm gonna lose all my nails during a penalty shootout. Is it a strong enough squad? I think it probably could be. I have to trust in Gareth. JWP's not there for any free kick shenanigans. I'll care more about it when it starts and we're up against Iran, and I'll be like, oh, my world is just revolved around England. But at the moment, I think, squad's good enough because that's the one that's been chosen. Let's have it.
Cool. I mean,
every tournament, I always swear that I'll never support England ever again. I just don't, my body can't take it. But then the tournament comes around, and lo and behold, I get whipped up in it.
I'm not on your face, and you're like, come on.
Just naked in the street, topless with St. George across my chest. Yeah. I think I'm not excited about it at all, but I feel at the moment I could do with, it's a welcome distraction from Saints. Just, you know, a month to sort of take stock of everything and think about something else.
Trust me, Kevin, I know you so well. As soon as that World Cup starts, you'll be right in there with your fantasy football teams. And you'll be all over it. I did feel that Ivan Toney would make it there because, you know, overlooked. And I get, really, he scored yesterday against City, didn't he? Scored two against City. So that was kind of like this is what I can do. What else can he do? You know, you turn up every week for Brentford and you're scoring. And what's the alternative, right? You sign for a big club and never get a game. I don't know what people like that can do. I just think if he hadn't been playing for Brentford, then there's a chance he could have gone. So. Anyway, that's my Ivan Toney dig. Tom. Thank you so much for coming on today. It has been a real pleasure and just a great opportunity to chat to you today.
Likewise, I feel like this has been great therapy. I get to walk away now and go, I believe in Nathan Jones. I'll start crying again thinking about Marianne Spacey-Kale, but because I think she's just incredible. This has been great to chat about Saints, and I think that we do have to, bottom line, be positive. He is the manager now. You almost have to forget about what's happened and how Ralph left and blah, blah, blah. This is our manager. We've got this break now. Come back stronger. And if we lose against Lincoln, I'll start complaining about the season's over.
no cup run. Yeah, that's it. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful we can beat this, and we always do. And I think we're going to take 3 points on Boxing Day. I really do. And just remember, it's really, really tight down there. But
one thing that I do like about Nathan Jones in his interviews, that he, without any sarcasm, starts almost every sentence with all due respect, as if he's about to launch into a sweary tirade, but then just...
He's going to be so great to watch in the press conferences. I feel like I'll be watching them more than the actual game time.
It's been an absolute pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. And we haven't done it yet, but give your podcast a plug. We March On with Stephen Tom. You give it a listen. It's rather funny, rather good.
Thank you very much. It's mainly about Steve still works for the club. He does the Saints Live and gives you the lineup before anybody else. And I love working with him, and I work with him at match day hosting. And we decided we would chat about the team that we love. It's more kind of about our lives a little bit, and what we obviously with any podcast, what we think about Southampton. But it's just fun to talk about the club that you love. So, yeah. Give it a listen if you want. It's different to this one, but yeah, it would much be appreciated.
Perfect. Yeah, amazing. We've taken up so much of your time. So yeah, really, really appreciate it.
An absolute pleasure. Enjoy the rest of it. And all the best with the boxes, Kev. All right.
Cheers. Thank you.
Take care, and maybe we'll hook up for the Brighton game.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, that'd be wicked.
All right then, guys. Enjoy the rest of the day. Take care.
Cheers, mate. Up the Saints.
Up the Saints. Bye-bye.
Okay, then, the Discord, no one taking the draw, so points remained the same after the Wednesday game, and Liverpool, there was Dan Fox, Greg Kaplan and Kurt Supple all going for 3-1 Liverpool, so max points for them. Dan Fox leads the way on 29 points, Colt Baker behind by 4 on 25, Kevin, you're third on 24, and I'm joint fourth on 20. Tim is second from bottom on 15. Ooh, very close. Super Sit. Round 21 was won by... Oh, we got a three-way tie. We got Stuart White, Terry Lubbock and Tom Hennigan on 7. Round 22 was won by Jeff Stelling on 16. Kevin Jewell still has the league. Fantasy football, Kev. How did fantasy football go this week?
I'm absolutely shocking. Absolute shit show. I've got 15 points on my bench. And only 34 in my team. There's a lot of sticks about.
Yeah, same there.
Yeah, Wilson, Trossard, Cancelo. Yeah, that Man City loss, I mean, that blew, didn't help things. I'm still miraculously top of our podcasters league.
I think if it helps, Kev, I think everybody had a shocker. I mean, you look at the players like Haaland and De Bruyne and Jesus. It didn't help that Man City lost.
Yeah, not at all. In fact... Lucy Hynek has been displaced at the top of our In That Number podcast big league. Martin Aileen Allen, he shifts up into first place with 948 points. Chris Ambridge's Ambazinho is in second. Lucy Hynek in third on 940 points. Still quite close.
Superb.
I'm 40.
No, that's all right. We don't care where I am. It's fine. Where am I? Do you want to where am I this week? Or you're not feeling it?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, you're feeling it. Remember, free guests on the first clue. Right, okay, clue one for 5 points. This stadium is located 273 miles from St. Mary's.
There's so many teams out there in that band. It's going to be in that Lancashire, Yorkshire.
Yeah, this is why it's a free guess and you get... I'm trying to encourage you to have a guess.
Are you in Grimsby?
No, I am not. Good guess. Clue two for 4 points. I am in the county of Lancashire.
I'm not going to guess.
No, still too much. Clue three for 3 points. Currently competing in League Two. This is a seaside town.
God, there's a couple, isn't there? I'm going to guess anyway.
Oh, okay.
Are you in Morecambe?
I am in Morecambe. Yes. Well done. Good stuff. Clue four for 2 points has a rivalry with Accrington Stanley. And clue five... Nicknamed the Shrimpers due to their local cuisine with a capacity of 6,500. I am in Morecambe Stadium.
In the Captain Birdseye Stadium.
Fantastic. It's actually the Globe Arena, but for sponsorship reasons, it's the Mazuma Stadium.
Sponsored by our goalkeeper. Nice.
No, not Bazunu. Mazuma. Place. Just before we go, Kevin, did you see the tweets regarding our pigeon?
Oh yeah, the naming ceremony. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there any that you particularly liked? Because we got quite a few comments on it. And
I liked Cuckoo Martina.
Cuckoo. That was your one, wasn't it?
No, mine was. And there was Ronald Koeman as well.
Oh, God, yes. Cumin, yeah.
God, I went for the Kushan Tadic.
Yes.
Just pigeon face made me laugh.
Jason Pigeon. Matt LePigier. That was all right. Itchy, Perry, Ken Moncou. Ian Dovey was one of yours as well.
Yeah.
Graziano Polo, not strictly a pigeon.
It's a chicken, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a chicken, yeah. Graziano Pelican.
I think they're missing the point.
Yeah. Guli de Prado.
Hang on. There's another one that was a good...
Patricia the Pigeon? Ali Dia? Someone said number 9.
Right. Oh, Jim Pagilton. Yes.
Yeah, Jim Pagilton was one of my favourites. So we've had some good ones. A couple of people have said Ralph. Papa Wago, because he's always offside. That was a good one. Yeah, this is it for a while. Because, you know, we're taking a break and getting World Cup ready, aren't we, Kevin?
Yes.
But, I mean, we may have a special World Cup one to bring in the coming weeks. But, yeah, all that's left to say is thank you once again to Tom Deacon for his time. And let's get behind Nathan Jones. May not have been everyone's first choice, but, you know, he has done some wonderful things with Luton, and we have to give him a chance. And there's still plenty of time for him to turn things around. So yeah, good luck to England as well in the World Cup. Let's hope we can go one better than we did in the Euros. So, yes, Kevin, you talk now.
Yeah, just thanks a lot, and we'll see you on the other side.
Okay, so until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.